Well, hello everyone. As I said yesterday in my video on the ceasefire that Trump announced on Taco Tuesday, I said that the sticking point would be point three in Iran's 10-point plan, which specified that Israel has to stop attacking Lebanon. And I said, as I recorded it, I think that's going to be a problem. I think the Israelis are, you know, they're known for not abiding by ceasefires. They are known for doing all they can to undermine and wreck American plans and interests in the region. And this has happened because over the past day or so, Israel has literally horrified the world by launching something called Operation Eternal Darkness. And I have to say, the strength of public opinion feeling towards Israel in the negative has really intensified. I mean, I think people are getting, they're getting very, very, very angry right across America and across Europe as well, with the fact that at a moment where there was a chance of peace, we are seeing what can only be described as psychotic bloodlust in the bombing of Beirut. You know, Christian city, Christian leader. And, you know, it is indiscriminate, basically, bloodshed from the Israelis. And I've barely even seen anyone even try to justify this. It is psychotic. It is disgusting, really. And it's really turning people very heavily against Israel at this moment. And one of the people who has spoken up about it, of course, has been Tucker Carlson, who has now moved to a position where he is saying that the America just needs to cut Israel off. I've seen many, 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 many other people call for that in the past 24 hours. Since I made my last video, and the strength of feeling has, I would say, spilled over. I have seen polls suggesting that it's now up to 60% of the American public are against Israel, and if you take out boomers, that number goes up to 75 plus. Basically anybody under the age of 50, you know, it goes up to pretty high percentages. And that, I think some of those polls were done before this thing happened, you know, before this attack, during the proposed ceasefire, during the agreed upon ceasefire, I should say, on Lebanon, and because of that, I suspect you will see those numbers keep on going up. I have also seen people who have historically been quite neutral on this issue. Or have not talked up about this issue. All of them now, many, many of those people have in the past week or so started to realize, oh my goodness, this is the one thing. This is the, I mean, I've had people said to me before, you know, I've been very consistent on this over a number of years saying, look, no political formula can brook an end, okay? And these people, the ones that we're dealing with here, the hardcore Zionists, whether they're Christian Zionists like Pete Hegseth or Israelis, okay, these people cannot brook an end, okay? They are hell-bent on one thing and one thing only, and they will stop at nothing. And you can try to bury your head in the sand. You can try to say, well, we're going to concentrate on other things. This issue has a habit of not going away, of eclipsing all other issues, of really being quite in your face until you can no longer, all the other options, all the other copes have been hit away. And now you've got people who held out for many, many years trying to talk about anything else, now coming to the realization that people like me have been right, that there is no way out of this other than to start confronting it, as Tucker Carlson has done. We're going to have a look at a number of clips. The monologue, if you haven't seen it, the Tucker Carlson monologue is extraordinary. He later has Alistair Crook on as well. But the, you know, the first 20, 30 minutes or so, I'm going to give you some highlights soon. Another thing that has happened, which I want to cover in this video, is that the Pope has shown remarkable moral clarity on this. He's excoriated the Trump admin for evoking the name of God and for waging this pointless war, and he's been very consistent. It's notable because he is the first ever American president, and now there has been a memo from the Pentagon threatening the Pope. Okay, the language is extraordinary, and I'm going to pull that up in a second. Before we get going, I'm going to remind people to pick up a course at the academic agency. And because I want to find this quote, I'm going to play an advert here for the Trivium. When we come back, we're going to watch Tucker. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the Pope. We're going to talk about Pete Hegseth. First of all, watch these words.
Academic Agency.
All right. So, first of all, let's have a look at this Tucker Carlson clip. I'm going to drop it. In fact, I'm going to put in several clips. This is, for the reasons of importance, I'm going to let several minutes of this play. There's going to be quite a bit of Tucker. If you haven't watched it, I encourage you to watch the whole thing. I've taken a few filleted highlights because this is Tucker going further than I've seen him go before. And judging by what I'm seeing, both in public polling and in the changing of opinion that I'm seeing up and down my timeline, even from people who even a month ago didn't talk about this as an issue, and the sheer strength of feeling that I'm seeing on social media, I would suggest that Tucker is talking for an awful lot of people here, an awful lot of Americans, and an awful lot of people around the world who are now seeing that Israel actually is the major obstacle standing in the way of peace. So I'm going to let Tucker play, and then I'm going to come back.
So the first mistake was lashing ourselves to another country with separate goals. But more immediately, the mistake would be if you want to wrap this up with a ceasefire and a peace agreement, you would, of course, tell Israel to get on board because Israel is a tiny, insignificant country with an infinitesimally small population and economy that only exists because you protect it and pay for everything. Israel is your client state. This is like taking orders from your housekeeper, which you would never do. Why would you do that if you had self-respect? So the first thing you would do if you were sitting down to come to terms with your opponent, this big country, Iran, that you haven't been able to beat militarily, would be to tell Israel, hey, we're suing for peace. We're going to get this done. You knock it off. But the U.S. didn't do that. This administration did not do that. In fact, apparently, according to the Israelis, they never even consulted Benjamin Netanyahu. They did not tell him that we are right in the cusp of ceasefire talks. Why? Because they were worried that he would do what he did with Operation Eternal Darkness, Operation Hell, and scuttle the whole thing by doing something crazy like bombing apartment buildings in Beirut, Lebanon. So apparently getting Israel under control so the United States could save its economy and the lives of its troops was not even on the table. Like the one thing we know we're not going to do is tell the Israelis to behave. And that's why there is, in practical terms, in effect, if not name, no ceasefire right now. The one that everybody in the United States desperately wants. So the question is, and it is the question, unfortunately, why can't the United States get its proxy, its client state, its effectively its employee, Israel, under control? Why is that the one thing that's never on the table? That's the question. It's the question that Joe Kent, one of the top U.S. intel officials, asked when he resigned a few weeks ago. We got into this war at the urging of another country, Israel. The war did not go well. Now we can't get out of the war because of the behavior of that same country, Israel. Why? Why can't this president or any president say no to Israel? And we have a right to know why. It's not just because we love Israel and it's the only democracy in the Middle East. And if it is, then our leaders are dumber than we thought they were. But it's probably not that. Because they understand perfectly well how bad this is for the U.S. And there are, believe it or not, a lot of people in the White House who care about the United States. People with power in the White House. They're not all, whatever you think they are, zombies doing Bibi's bidding. Some of them can see very clearly where this is heading. It's heading toward a nuclear strike by Israel on Iran. That's obvious. And that would be a world historic disaster. It's also clearly terrible for the American economy, for the American people, not even to mention the Americans who will die in numbers if this becomes a land war. So there are people working really hard, really late, trying to fix this, to get a peace, even one that diminishes us, where we have to take some lumps. They are doing that. That's the only reason we got to where we were yesterday, is because people in the White House, taking no credit for it whatsoever, were working to end this because it's bad. But those people predictably were undercut. Our country was undercut by Israel. And there's apparently nothing we can do about it. So again, why is that? And once this is over, even before it ends, every American has a right to know, why does this tiny country have so much control over our government? Is it consent? It doesn't look like it. The facts, the known facts, have never been explained. And at this point, watching Israel once again, not for the first time, hardly for the first time, short-circuit American diplomacy, the expressed will of the American president, elected by the rest of us, to have some foreign country of 9 million people to say no, exercise veto power over our president, short-circuit our interests. This is bad for us. We're doing it anyway because Benjamin Netanyahu wants to. You see that enough times. This is, again, not the first time we've seen this. It's not the 10th time we've seen this. We've seen it generationally. You have to ask, what is this? And you have to find out. And you have to air it publicly because it has to end. We cannot be a free and prosperous country until we are a sovereign country. What does that mean? Our leaders, elected by us, have to be able to make decisions in our interests. Not to the exclusion of everyone else. You don't have to end other people's civilizations in order for your own country to prosper. It doesn't work that way. But you have to put your people's best interests first, or it's not a legitimate system. And if there is another country and an arrangement with another country that's preventing you from doing that, you have to fix it. And then there are also moral questions. If that partner, your closest ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, is killing kids in Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, Iran, and doing so without apology, if it's committing war crimes every single day for years with your money and your weapons, at some point, you're implicated in those crimes. And you have to stop that too. It's all bad. There's no upside. Where's the upside? And so the United States has to, and hopefully the first thing we do when and if this war is resolved, is detach from Israel. Not declare war on Israel or treat Israel as an enemy. They may treat us as an enemy, as they have before. When they tried to sink the USS Liberty, an American naval vessel, a surveillance vessel, they treated us as an enemy. We don't have to treat them as an enemy, however, and we shouldn't. But we should treat them like we treat every other country, as an ally, but with restrictions and reservations and red lines. No, you can't act against our interest. And this distancing should begin with a total end of aid of any kind, military or economic, to Israel by the U.S. government.
All right. So the reason I played that clip in full is because I wanted to see, I wanted you to see how far Tucker is going here. And this is, you know, as far as I've seen Tucker go, Some of the things I clicked out, he mentioned Joe Kent, and he talked about things that Joe Kent found out. Like, for example, one of the things Tucker mentioned was that Joe Kent claims that the assassination attempt on Trump, the investigation into that was shut down. And he was suggesting that the same forces that shut down that investigation were the same forces that mean that no American president says no to Israel, which is interesting to say the least. But you can see how angry Tucker is. And I think that feeling is shared by millions upon millions of people at this point. And it's going to be a problem. This is the political issue of our time. If you think there are many other concerns, of course, but you can't even get to those concerns until you address this concern. This is why it's the number one issue. And I've been saying that for many years now, lots of people now coming around because it's staring them in the face. A lot of the times reality has to stare people in the face before they're willing to confront it. And even then, of course, many people don't, as I talked about on another recent video, politics always comes first. But this, what Tucker's talking about, should be a significant part of your politics going forward, if it's not at the moment. Now, I have to say that the European leaders are doing somewhat better. The leader of Spain, Meloni in Italy, has surprised everybody. Macron has played a pretty good hand so far. Even Keir Starmer, although he's been weaker than the Spanish leader Meloni and Macron, Sanchez, the Spanish leader's core, even though he's been weaker and been a bit more weaselly, he's still, shown some backbone. Carney in Canada has been good. Even, speaking of weasels, Albanese in Australia has even been quite good on this. They all came out in unison and said, look, in the Pakistan ceasefire deal, Lebanon was included. The Pakistani representative at the UN said this. It was in the original letter that was published by the Pakistani Prime Minister. So the idea that Lebanon was not included, or that it's some sort of misunderstanding, is just a lie, I'm afraid, from J.D. Vance, who's trying to paint himself as the guy trying to stop this war. Well, if you're trying to stop the war, stop covering, okay, for these sick people bombing Lebanon at the moment. Why are you doing that, J.D.? Right, if you're trying to sell this, if you want people who are skeptical of you, like me and everybody else, you need to start. I mean, America itself, the American admin, Trump needs to stand up to these people who are wrecking what he's trying to do, to the people who dragged him into this in the first place, as per the New York Times report from a couple of days ago. I want to get to the Pope now. This is important because of the extraordinary level to which the Pentagon is going under the crazed lunatic Pete Hegseth, okay? And given the Christian context of this, given the attention to matters of doctrinal detail and so on, I sniff the hand of Hegseth in all of this. I suspect that the representatives involved who've been threatening the Vatican were probably Hegseth minions, okay? This is from the London Economic. It's been widely reported. I think the original article was in the Free Press, you know, the one run by Barry Weiss. Vatican officials are concerned by the US threat of military force. I'll just read this. This was from an article in the London Economic. Christopher Hale, who runs a news outlet based on the papacy, reported on Wednesday evening that there has been an almighty disagreement between Trump's representatives at the Pentagon and Cardinal Christoph Pierre, the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. It is understood that the government officials were far from impressed by a speech delivered by Pope Leo, the first ever to lead the Catholic Church, back in January, where he emphasized his opposition to war and urge diplomacy as a solution to conflict. Now, here's one of the issues, right? They didn't just call him in and give him a ticking off. They actually threatened military action. okay, or the implicit threat of military action against the Pope. What is the Avignon Papacy? Right? The Undersecretary for War, Eldridge Colby, was part of the delegation here, and one of the US officials reminded the Cardinal, Pierre, about the Avignon Papacy, which is long considered to be one of the most humiliating eras in the Vatican's history. During the 14th century, the King of France was able to enforce direct control over the papal state and employed his military guard to bring the Pope over to Avignon. According to Hale, some Vatican representatives saw this as a threat of using military force against the Holy See. These developments caused shockwaves, and J.D. Vance was immediately pressed for a response during his visit to Hungary. Okay, and then Vance basically denied any knowledge of it. But it gets even worse when you hear some of the language that was used, because I'm just trying to find the exact phrasing. They said, hold on a minute. Let me just find the exact phrasing here on the attack, because it's pretty important that you hear this. The ambassador, okay, the Pope's ambassador to the US was told by the Pentagon, or by an official from the Pentagon, that the United States has the military power to do, quote, whatever it wants, and warned that the church had, quote, better take its side. Now, this is, again, I've talked before about how this admin has gone rogue and how Israel has gone rogue. They've gone off the map of, you know, the civilized nations of the world. They've kind of gone off on a side tangent to what America was meant to be, and also you might say to what Western civilization was meant to represent. And it can't really get much lower than threatening the Pope. I think we're in a real crisis here. I think this is a crisis for America, and I still think that Hegseth, when all said and done, will end up in jail. And pace is gathering to get Trump removed, you know, whether it's 25th Amendment or impeachment or whatever. And frankly, I would support it at this time. The actions of Israel against Lebanon are completely without justification. I haven't seen anyone even attempt to make an argument for why this is necessary, for why they're doing it. Okay, they say they're fighting Hezbollah. I mean, Hezbollah aren't based in Beirut. For one, they're based down in southern Lebanon. They're actually attacking the capital of, a country that. So what are they doing it for? What is the actual reason? The reason they're hitting Lebanon is because it was specified in the ceasefire agreement. This is a way to veto the U.S. president. This is a way to undermine American power. This is a way to keep the war going, to drag America back into the war, to make sure the war continues, okay? And because they don't understand how to de-escalate, how to take an L, how to, you know, they just always want to escalate further, okay? And all this week, we've been, there's been threats of America pulling out of NATO at the same time as Israel is threatening Turkey. And a lot of people have then said, well, I'm going to put two and two together here. Turkey's in NATO. Israel wants to, you know, keeps on saying Turkey's next. If they want a world war with Turkey, how is America going to be on hand to fight that war if it's the head of NATO? But if America is out of NATO, then it doesn't have to come to Turkey's defense if there's any clash. Okay, people aren't stupid. You know, many people are stupid, but lots of people aren't stupid. So they can kind of see what's coming down the pike. And you see, if we don't do as Tucker says now, then these things are coming and it's just never going to end. It's never going to end with these people. They won't take, it's like unless you pull the plug, unless you actually show them who's boss, okay, they're just never going to take no for an answer. It's going to take more. It's going to take decisive action, heroic will, you might say. Clearly, Trump does not have that. And he's shown continually over and over and over again, you know, what do they call it? Trump's law. Even in that New York Times article, Trump's law was iron. It's really quite disturbing. Anyway, I've talked enough for today. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Hopefully, you know, I mean, whether J.D. Vance can pull a rabbit out of the hat or something, you know, I'm not kind of holding my breath. So there it is. As I said yesterday, the ceasefire wrecked already by Israel. Surprise, surprise. All right. Bye, everyone. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.